You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, fight fans, to another episode of BTR Boxing Podcast with me, your host, John Basto. And I'm delighted to be joined today by Duke McKenzie, MBE. Duke, I'm so glad that you've come on this podcast. And you know what? It's not a normal podcast, this. People probably see the name Duke McKenzie, MBE, and they think, oh, it's going to be another one of his stories, or it's going to be like a repeated story of what something he's already done. But today he's got a completely different agenda. Today is something that's very close to your heart and to mine as well, and which is why I'm glad that you've come on to talk about it. So for the benefit of everybody, we're talking about two charities. We're talking about Mind, and we're talking about Ringside Rest and Care, the Ringside Charitable Trust. And I'm really delighted that you're coming on to talk about this with me today.
Okay, well, listen, it's a privilege, first of all, to be here and for you to ask me on. And yeah, I mean, I've always been, you know, like very passionate about the sport that I've done because it's taken me through the whole of my career. But to still be involved in it somehow, some way, and my career's finished, well, I consider that a real blessing, really. So, you know, I mean, obviously, like, mental health today is prevalent in this society that we live in, sadly. And it is something that really, it can touch anybody at any time. And you know, and it is something I'm you know, quite passionate about. Been involved with the Mind organization for quite a number of years now as one of their ambassadors, you know, just talking about mental health, what it means to me personally, and certainly what it means to quite a lot of people that I actually know on a personal level. So, you know, it's one of them sort of things, really. You know, I use that word quite not even lightly. Mental health is a very personal thing, and not everybody wants to talk about their mental health, particularly ex-boxers, who are very proud men and women, because we've got a lot of women boxers now that are in this sport. Yeah, it's a big deal.
I suppose for the benefit of everybody who may or may not know about Mind and Ringside Rest and Care, I just wanted you to set a bit of context for them and just explain how your involvement came about with them. People may or know this story already, but I think it's important to let the people that are listening and watching know, like, why are you involved with it? What is it that touches your heart that you've been a patron of them for many years now?
I first got involved with Mind probably about 15, 20 years ago. When I had one of their service users in my gym working out, and he'd been watching me for quite some time, and obviously I think he quite liked the way I sort of interacted with people, and he kind of put it to me. He said to me, "Would I be interested in working with Mind or with mental health patients at from the Mind organisation, service users direct, from the Mind organisation. This is people that have come straight out of the Royal Bethlehem Hospital, people that have had, you know, quite severe mental health issues in their lives. I think he saw me as some kind of a counsellor, which I'm not. I'm not a qualified counsellor. I'm not a qualified anything. But, you know, I'm a people's person, and I love talking to people. I like getting on with people. And I certainly know how to get the best out of people in a fitness sense, you understand? So he'd been in my gym for about a good, I'd say a good year, maybe a little bit longer. And like I say, he'd been watching me and how I interacted with people and how I don't even want to say I help people, but I like people. And I sort of give people a leg up when they need one. And he liked that. So he said to me, Duke, would you be interested in working with the Mind organisation, which he had quite a big involvement with. And his name is Michelle Tizzy. He's still at Mind now, actually, one of their advocate workers. And when he put it to me, I was a little bit shocked initially because I'd never worked with anybody with a mental health problem before, except myself, of course, because I'm a little bit touched. But he kind of put it to me, and then he introduced me to the CEO of the Croydon Mind, Richard Pacitti, and then Richard introduced me to one or two other people which were very important and influential to the Mind organisation, and it just kind of snowballed from there. It just sort of grew from there. Then a boxing program was put together. I put a boxing program together, which is purely non-contact, by the way. You know, they train like a traditional boxer. Anybody trains like a traditional boxer, but there's no physical contact. And it worked, to my amazement. It worked. I mean, I've still got at least maybe four or five people from my original group, which I had, like I say, almost 15, 20 years ago. I'm either in touch with them now, or they're still in my gym. And I've had several gyms since that one that I had back in Croydon. I'm at South Croydon now. But I've still got those people in my gym now. And I kind of think to myself, that is just such, for me, it is an absolute blessing. I can't really put it any simpler than that. It's an absolute blessing. It really is. You know, some of these people have had very, very difficult lives, which I'm not obliged to elaborate on. They've had very, very difficult lives, but, you know, they still found a way to get on with their lives and maintain a healthy body and a healthy mind through the training program that I put together. So, yeah, I'd like to pat myself on the back for that one. That's quite a big deal.
How important is what you do now to the community? Even more now than ever. I see a lot of reports now about a lot of younger individuals, even of school age, really suffering badly with the mental health. And every day I wake up and I see something new about issues with young girls, young boys suffering with mental health, and even as extreme as some of these young individuals going to the extreme of taking their own lives as a result of their mental health. So I suppose asking you that question, you being involved with many different individuals, how important is it and how much of an impact does this work have on the community?
I really believe it. Listen, if I had my way, I'd be doing this full time. If I had my way, I'd be training youth on a full-time basis. Again, if I had my way, when I was a kid, there were so many youth clubs available, so many youth clubs out there. There was so much for you to do other than just sort of knocking around the streets or, you know, robbing shops or robbing people or robbing cars or stabbing people as kids do today. There was so much more out there for you. There was a youth club pretty much on every street corner. So, you know, to go to a youth club then was a really big deal. I can remember going to like my youth club. It was called the Sir Philip Game Amateur Boxing Club. And when I went down there as a probably like a 10, 11-year-old boy, as I was then, it was like a really big deal. But you'd be there from about 10 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock at night. They had every activity going, you know, from football to boxing to snooker to you know, like crazy golf, table tennis, you name it. Every sport activity you could name was at this one little club that I used to belong to, the Sir Philip Game, in Moreland Road in Croydon. And I just believe kids today have got so much. They've got too much too soon. They've got too much time on their hands. There's not enough discipline for them. There's a lot of broken families out there for one reason or another. But I'm sure with positive role models and enough people getting behind certain organisations, you know, they could quite easily have more youth clubs available to young kids today. You know, kids don't do sport in school anymore. I think they do like an hour a week, something ridiculous like that. So, you know, the need for leaders, and I don't use that term lightly, the thing for leaders is paramount now. There's a lot of guys out there, a lot of women even, that are just natural born leaders, you know, which would snatch your arm off right now to train youth, and they'd probably do it for nothing. You know, they'd give up their time for nothing. It was like an hour a week, they'd go and do it, I'm sure, if the facilities were there. But the government really have to really take a look at the way they're structuring youth development and how they see at this next generation coming through and what they think this next generation, who and what they're going to be. Because the way mental health is going through young kids now, it's spreading through young kids like wildfire. You know, young kids today, I've never heard of until I've been in the Mind organisation, I've never heard of a young teenager having mental health problems. I've never heard of it before. You know, I'm not saying it didn't exist in my era, but it was certainly less prevalent in my era. And for young kids now to be saying they've got a mental health problem at 12, 13 years of age, some probably a little bit younger than that. I don't know what the statistics are, but that's a real sad state of affairs. And if the government don't act now, then the next generation that are coming through, I feel really sorry for them.
I think one of the things that you're heavily involved in is trying to get the younger generation into the sport of boxing, not so much because they have to come and compete. I think one of the things that I like that you do is you're trying to encourage people just to get fit, just trying to take them issues away. And I know there's a lot of links and there's a lot of studies that have been conducted where exercise, it releases them endorphins into the brain and it allows people to have them happy thoughts. And I know boxing has been promoted quite a lot recently, both in the women's side of the sport, but in the men's side of the sport, of how much of an impact it can have on somebody's mental health, a positive impact that it can have on someone's mental health. And I'm sure, obviously, with you having the gym and you're having different people through the doors every single day, I'm pretty sure you've probably seen really good examples of that. So I'm just curious to know, like, have you got any good examples of people that you've worked with recently that are a product of this environment, this society that we live in, that have been able to essentially turn things around and get back on the right path in life?
I've got quite a number of kids in my gym now who are what I call, they're just lovely boys and girls. They really, really are. And, you know, when they first, some of them, not all of them, but some of them, when they first come to me, are quite wayward. They are quite cocky. They have got issues, stroke. But I don't really stand for any of it. And I always think to myself, you know, that could easily have been me one day. So I tend to be quite empathetic with them. You know, I like to listen and I just let people talk. And I think if anybody's got an issue or a problem, you know, they need to get it out. So if you allow people to talk and express that, whatever it is they've suppressed for, you know, a year, two, three, five, however many years it is, you soon get it out of them. And a boxing place is a really good place for structure and discipline. And the way I run my jukebox gym in Croydon, like I say, it's more than just a gymnasium. Like, to me, it's more than just a gym. To me, it's more than just a living. It's a place where I really believe that, you know, we get one or two sort of lost souls down there that don't always end up lost in the end because, you know, I work my magic and kind of pull them around again. But you know, these things take time and takes a lot of effort. But it's something that I do gladly, something that I do willingly. And I just think, you know, I don't want to blow my own trumpet. But like I say, there's a lot of kids in my gym who actually look up to me. Because, you know, if you set the standards and you set the ground rules from day one, then they have a follower or they don't follow. And I would say 9 out of 10 just want that person they can actually relate to. You know, I don't drive a Rolls Royce to work and I don't live in a big old mansion. That's my dog outside, you can hear. You know, I've got a little 3-bedroom house that I live in. I'm just a normal everyday guy. And I just think to myself, kids, they need somebody they can actually identify with. Black, white, or indifferent makes no difference. You know, they just need somebody they can actually identify with. You know, as I said before, they need like a role model or a leader. And I mean, that's how a lot of kids probably see me. So, you know, all the kids call me coach. They don't call me by my first name. Everybody comes through my door. They say hi. Or they say goodbye. You know, you set one or two little ground rules. Then you just sprinkle a bit of gold dust on them and just watch them flourish. But not everybody's like that. And I can't do that with everybody. I'm not a lifesaver. you understand. But what I try to do, I just try to reason with kids, and you know, I appreciate them as much as they appreciate me. And if you can get them over the door and you start talking to them on a level — I don't speak their language, by the way, because I don't understand it, they speak my language — once you make them understand that, you know, they're here for a reason and they've got purpose, they've got meaning. You know, some of these kids have never been told that can't be that sort of — they've never heard that sort of language before. Some people have never even been told that, you know, that you actually care about them and where they end up and where they're going. So, like I say, you show them some respect, and you tend to get it back.
And what sort of things do Mind offer for people? What sort of services are there out there within Mind that can assist different age ranges?
The Mind organisation, for me, I think they're a brilliant organisation because they offer so much. They're so much more than a mental health charity. They don't just, you know, they're not big on drugs and that sort of thing and sending people off to see psychiatrists. A lot of things that Mind do are actually done in-house. You know, they've got advocate workers who just work their backsides off, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know. And, all right, they're getting paid to do a service, but they provide an excellent service. You know, they anything that you need through the Mind organisation, then they will provide in a structured manner. You know, they're not going to throw money at you. They don't spoil anybody. You know, they do assessments on everybody. They talk to people. And they try to point people in the right direction. As I say, some people only need, like, you know, for somebody to put their arm around them and tell them that they are good and they are worth something. They have value. You know, they got purpose in life. And a lot of young kids don't get this now because we come from broken homes. This is called broken Britain. You know, there's a lot of single parent families. There's a lot of dads out there that don't actually know how to be dads. There's a lot of mums out there that don't actually know how to be mothers. But what they need is to be educated on how to be a mum and how to be a dad. And if they can do that, then they can pass on that wisdom, that knowledge to their kids, you know, or if not their kids, then somebody else's. So, I really have got a lot of respect and admiration for the Mind organisation, which is why I'm so heavily involved with them.
So moving over to the Ringside Charitable Trust, the Ringside Rest and Care, that's something that we've promoted quite a lot recently on our podcast, because obviously it's — I feel, and this is just my personal opinion, that there's not a lot of people within the sport that promote it, I think, the way they should. Like, the way the platforms that people have out there at the moment are quite immense, and the reach is quite wide, and I just don't see a lot of the big platforms out there, even promoters, not many of them, from what I can see, appear to be sort of pushing this agenda out there. And it's an agenda well worthy of pushing out there, because there's a lot of fighters in this sport that don't come out of it in a very good state, in a very comfortable state, or are able to live a very comfortable life as a result of being in the ring, injuries sustained in the ring over the years. We know all about what Trish Dixon did in his book Damaged, about the onset of CTE later on in lives of many fighters. And I think it's quite important that we use this opportunity to highlight, you know, how much Ringside Rest and Care do, and the Charitable Trust do. And I know you're an ambassador of that also. So again, for the benefit of people listening who might not be that well versed within it or educated within it, Just let them know, what is it all about? What do they actually do and provide for ex-boxers of the sport?
Well, the Ringside Charitable Trust was set up by Paul Fairweather and Dave Harris. And those guys work tirelessly, you know, to get this organisation off the ground. The Ringside Charitable Trust is an organisation set up predominantly for retired ex-boxers that have fallen on hard times. And there are quite a number of them, ex-boxers I'm talking about, which have fallen on hard times. They've got nothing. And some of the boxers, several that I know, not on a personal level, you understand, but several that I know of, are actually either homeless as we speak or suffering with mental health problems. And, you know, it beggars to believe why more reputable, well-known ex-boxers, bigger, more well-known than myself within the boxing fraternity, even managers, promoters, why they're not throwing their weight behind this? Because ultimately, those guys have made their money from boxers over the years, and it would be it wouldn't, you know what, they wouldn't even have to put in any money. They just put their name to it. If they put their name and support behind this organisation, the Ringside Charitable Trust, then that would generate a bigger audience, certainly. Now, the Ringside Charitable Trust, what they're trying to do is raise enough capital to build, you know, a state-of-the-art care home specifically for retired boxers, boxers that have fallen on the hard times, because boxers need, they need help. They, you know, they need protection from themselves. You know, nobody's untouchable from drink, drugs, or any other vices that are out there. And unfortunately, quite a few ex-boxers have fallen onto those sort of bad vices. And these guys need help. And why shouldn't the boxer fraternity all club together, because we're supposed to be that big one family, allegedly, you know, and help one another. You know, there's so much money in the pot to help, you know, ex-boxers. I don't know why this hasn't happened before, but it's happening now. The Ringside Charitable Trust are spearheading that. They are spearheading this organisation. They're trying to get this up on all this organisation up and running. They won't go away because they're just working tirelessly all the time to get this off the ground. And I, for one, you know, anything that they do, I'll champion anything they do, because I really believe in the guys that are running it. You know, they're honest and they're kind, and they give up a lot of their free time, or all of their free time, to get this organisation moving. So, you know, I'm giving up a lot of my time. I'm getting involved with these people because I care about boxing. I care about boxers. If I can help them in any way, shape or form, I would. If I won the lottery tomorrow, I'd give them a sizable donation. I really would, because that's how much I believe in what they're doing. And I just, again, I don't really understand why the hierarchy of this sport don't all, you know, get together, get around the table, talk about it, discuss whatever issues they've got going on, and just move this organisation forward, because it's not going away. And the sooner they do that, the better it'll be for ex-boxers. I mean, it's okay for promoters and managers to say that, you know, boxers are responsible for themselves, which they are. It's okay for them to say, you know, they can do what they want with their money, because they, again, they can. But, you know, boxers need guidance. Boxers need help. Boxers need to be not told, but advised on, you know, the wealth that they might acquire and what to do with it and how to invest it. You know, here today, gone tomorrow. And you know, boxers are the same as anybody else. You know, we're not accountants. We're not businessmen. You know, we always think that the money's expendable and it's always going to be there. But the reality is, one day it's going to dry up. And I don't know a boxer that has a pension or thinks about having a pension or takes out a professional license and says, right, the first thing I'm going to do is get a pension, you know, or get myself an accountant to do my taxes. And, you know, says that when my career's over, I've got myself a little nest egg and all my taxes up to date. You know, most boxers, most professional sportsmen per se, I think, just spend their money. And then when the hard times hit, they don't know what to do with themselves. So they fall apart. And but if they've got the right education from the outset, then that needn't be the case. And you see more successful boxers come out of this sport without mental health issues. Boxers are normal people at the end of the day, but you know, they've got the adage of having had a really hard career, you know, on top of maybe going through a divorce, on top of maybe going through a bereavement, on top of any other sort of thing that can trip you up in life. You know, you've got a hard boxing career on top of that. And I include in that, you know, 4-round fighters, 6-round fighters, just because they're 4 or 6-round fighters doesn't mean that, you know, they're not going to suffer or they're not going to have a hard career. You know, boxing's just, it's a hard business per se. Yeah, the Ringside Charitable Trust, yeah, they're trying to raise monies for this care home. It's not just about raising the money, as you've mentioned, it's about the maintenance of the care home. So they do all kinds of events up and down the country to raise awareness about the Ringside Charitable Trust, and to try and generate some kind of funds coming in. And, you know, they're doing okay, but, you know, how much is enough? And you can never have enough for something like this, because it's a big deal. It's never been done before. And, you know, for any boxer, when their career's finished, if their lives then, you know, go on a downward sort of trajectory, then it would be nice to know that they're being cared for by boxing people. People actually know the sport. People actually know what they're talking about and what they're doing. Most people probably see boxers as being quite aggressive, or, you know, because, you know, you get paid to punch people for a living. But that's not the case. It's a job, same as any other job. Some boxers are good at it and others aren't good at it. But ultimately, the result is the same. You know, you get into a square ring and you box with somebody. So boxing's not for everybody. It's certainly not for the faint-hearted. But it's something that a lot of people want to do. I've got people in my gym now that can't fight but think they're boxers. I get it all day long, all day, every day. And the thing is, you know, that's the safe side of the ropes. You know, gyms like mine are the safe side of the ropes because nobody's ever going to get hurt. But when you go to the other side of the ropes and you take it out as a living, you know, the minute you step through that ropes, you can lose your life. That's the harsh reality of it. I mean, that's the brutal side of it. I really believe the British Boxing Board of Control have the safest governing body in the whole wide world because their measures are so strict and they're so stringent in the way that they conduct themselves. I think they're quite brilliant, to be honest with you. I think Robert Smith does a sterling job at the British Boxing Board of Control. But, you know, I know that a meeting's been trying to set up with Robert Smith, with the Ringside Charitable Trust, to see if they can have some kind of collaboration with the Board of Control and see if something might come of it, which I'm sure, once they've spoken to Robert, he might see the light and get involved, you know. But more meetings should be put on with, you know, the real big boys, the real money players, you know, like the Frank Warrens of the world, like Eddie Hearn, those sort of guys. It would be great if those guys got involved. I don't know if they ever will, but it would be fantastic for the sport if they did and give back, find another way of giving back.
That's what's important, and this is what it's all about, this one, Duke. It's about being able to bring to the attention of people that listen to our show more information about Mind, more information about Ringside Charitable Trust, and be able to put it out there even more, because whilst people might already know about it, and they all do a good job of putting it out there themselves, like we both agree, I don't think there's enough support from the overall boxing fraternity to be able to push this agenda out there and make sure that everybody's aware of it. You know, boxing fans all around the world, you know, they see these guys go into the ring week in, week out, and these ladies week in, week out now, going in there, putting their lives on the line, and a lot of it is for the entertainment of the fans in particular. And like, you could go and watch a card at a show and walk away from that and not realise that in 2 or 3 years down the line, these guys could be, that you've watched, that you've been entertained by, could have fallen on really, really hard times. And I think it's so important to make sure that this is continuously pushed so that people are aware of it. And for everybody that's listening to our show and watching our show, we've put the links into the episode notes for Mind, for Ringside Charitable Trust. Any of the pages that you can donate to are on there. But it's more about spreading the word. The word of mouth is so important, and you know that can be via social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whichever way you want to do it. They can share these links on there and they can make people aware of it, because at the end of it all, we're the ones that are outside of the ropes and we're the ones that are watching from afar. We're not the ones that see what happens to these guys in the aftermath and years gone by, and you think about it and you think, well, what happened to that fighter? And then you hear these really, really sad stories about them and how hard they've had it since they've left the sport, and it's like, well, where is everybody? Why is nobody supporting them? Well, this is what Ringside Charitable Trust is all about, and this is why we're plugging this so much, so that these guys that are working so hard, Paul and Dave, to push this out there, have got that little bit of extra support from people that are pushing these types of episodes out there, this type of content out there, and we're happy to be able to facilitate it, and we're happy to have you on, Duke, as an ambassador to be able to help promote it as well, because it's important that people like you, who have done so much in your own boxing career, who are living a relatively comfortable life, that could have been totally different for you. That might have not worked out the way it did for you. Do you know what? And this is what's so important about pushing this.
Well, listen, I'm a regular guy at the end of the day who's had an extraordinary career. In terms of my boxing achievements, I've had an absolutely brilliant career, you know. But, you know, we've got other world champions that are out there, ex-world champions, British champions, European champions, that have had successful careers in their own right, that have had mental health problems, like a Ricky Hatton or a Frank Bruno or even Tyson Fury. You know, these guys speak quite openly about having mental health issues and mental health problems throughout their careers. But I don't see any of them getting behind the Ringside Charitable Trust just yet. Maybe it has been put to them, I don't know. But I would imagine that for whatever their reasons, you know, they're living quite a comfortable life. Maybe they don't want to get involved. That's their prerogative. But if those guys got behind, or, you know, more boxers like those, with the more bigger names, got behind the charitable trust, then the organisation would grow quicker. The charitable trust would get to their where they needed to be sooner, and boxers would get the help they need now. You know, it's not always about tomorrow or the next day or the next week or the next month or even year. You know, boxers need help now. And I know that the charitable trust, the Ringside Charitable Trust, have opened up a helpline for boxers where they can call up, you know, 24 hours a day, I believe, you know, if they need help, if they need some kind of guidance, if they need some kind of assistance. So I don't know if that's out there yet, but if it's not, then it will be very, very, very shortly. I know it's up and running as we speak, so but I don't know how much they've actually advertised that. So hopefully that will go a long way in helping boxers thinking that, you know, they're not alone. Because once you're home and you shut your front door, you can get locked inside the cockpit of your mind and not come out again. And it's a very, very difficult place to be. It's not a nice place to be at all. So, but if you know you've got help out there, or you know there's somebody you can talk to, you know, you know it's only a phone call away, then that will go a long way to helping people. You know, so I say, I put my wholehearted support behind the charitable trust, and hopefully, over the next several months, you'll be needing a lot more from them.
And thank you so much for coming on and making people more aware of what's going on, and people more aware of how they impact the community and how they impact boxers, and both Mind and the Ringside Charitable Trust and the great work that they're doing. It's a pleasure to obviously have you on to discuss this. And for people that are listening to our podcast, they'll know that upcoming next is, in fact, your career profile for our Career Profiles podcast coming later on in the week, which is excellent. We're going to get to hear all about your journey through the boxing world. But it was very more important today to focus on Mind and the Ringside Charitable Trust. And Duke, as always, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on, and thank you so much for educating us more on this.
You're welcome, champ. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate that. I really do. And I wish you well, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.